Good evening, everybody. This is James McCanny with My Science Hour. This is for October 22nd, 2020. Lots of topics to cover tonight. There's so many things going on, it's just hard to keep track of them all. I'm going to go through these out of order in my notes here. I want the very first thing. There's something going around. This has been in the works, as many of these things have been, for decades. And so the whole reason of bringing in COVID was to bring down the world economy and then have a guaranteed income, which is part of the Green New Deal. So what guaranteed income has to do with the new Green Deal or whatever that thing is. Well, it's all about communism. And so what they're doing is they're destroying the economies, and then people will be just clamoring to get that free government check. And they've already baited the hook by sending people, you know, $1,200, which is a joke, out of, you know, what? It's going to be many trillions of dollars. The last trove was many trillions of dollars. And just a teeny fraction of that is actually going to you, the people. The bulk of that money is going to go to big business, and you probably don't even know or can't even imagine who the rest of it's going to. So anyway, keep an eye out for that. A lot of people are reporting on that, so I'm not going to spend any more time. Just be aware of that. Another thing is called Truth and Reconciliation, which comes out of apartheid from South Africa. And John Moore made a good point. I was guest on his show yesterday morning, and he said the fences that they used in South Africa were to keep the people from other countries out of South Africa. They were not to keep people in, because South Africa was kind of like the place to go to. It was kind of like the United States of South of Africa, where everybody wanted to go to get a better opportunity. Well, of course, that ended. We all know where that went. And I know I've tried to do business in South Africa, and the people tell me don't even send anything there, in spite of the fact that the wing generator would provide beneficial energy and water and other benefits to the area, to the people and their family and their kids. He said they will tear it down in one night and turn it into scrap metal and sell it off for scrap metal. So don't even try and install anything there. Okay, so anyway, this thing called Truth and Reconciliation is a board, and this is right out of the Communist Manifesto also, where you would go and shed your sins against society, all of these, talking points, you know, diversity and what they wanted people to admit that they, I don't know, whatever, some kind of sin against society. And then you would be cleansed and you would be allowed to live in society. By the way, this debt reset thing that I started to mention at the beginning is where you would have a guaranteed income, but the other part of that is you would have all your personal property stripped away from you. You would become a complete ward of the state, and immunization and vaccine would be a requirement for you to exist. So they're wrapping all this in a big package, and a lot of people are not smart enough to realize what's going on. I've updated my voter cheating paper. It was like a white paper I wrote originally in 2016, right before the 2016 election. I updated it in January of 2017, after the election, where I actually got to look at voter numbers and the votes, etc., and realized that the original 2016, prior to the election cheating report, was to identify the top 10 ways to cheat to win a national election. Turns out that these were the same methods they used to cheat to win local elections. But my point is that after the election, I never really realized how big the local precinct cheating was in what they call Democratic strongholds. They've been doing this for decades, where they simply cheat the people into office. So you have people like Pelosi and Schumer and Schiff, so you have the California contingency, you have the New York contingency, Chicago, In all the big cities, Denver, Las Vegas, Seattle, Portland, where all of these bat-crazy liberals have gotten into office, they don't really get voted in, they get cheated in. And so anyway, I've updated that a bit because in 2020, it's over the top. The methods and the mail-in, the vote harvesting, the vote creation, it's just over the top. And, you know, Joe Biden cannot fill a living room with people from an old folks home. You look at his rallies, there's literally nobody there. He clocked 84 people since the Memorial Day. The 84 people at events he's, you know, held, etc. And even him and Kamala Harris met in Arizona, and nobody, literally nobody showed up. And then you look at Trump, and he's filling stadiums with people. What's the difference? How could be, and this is the same thing that happened in 2016, how could anybody say that he's ahead in the polls? That's absolutely beyond absurd. But that's the level of cheating that goes on. Okay, so on to some topics here. This is an announcement I'm making. I am now added to my product line, and I said before I was not going to add any items to my product line, but this is a kind of a no-brainer, and that is generators, backup generators, and industrial-grade generators. And this is something that I want to impart a little bit of knowledge, because a lot of people out there have a, I won't mention brand names, but you have this little housing out in the backyard with a generator in there. It might run off of a diesel tank. It might run off of a propane tank. And that's your backup generator for your house. And a typical size would be from 10 to 25 kilowatts if you have one of these. And there you buy that from the home division of the generator company. So anyway, the issue is that people think that if the power goes out for long term, that they have power backup. And it's really not the case. Those units that they sell for the home market are not capable of running 24/7 all year long. They are not an industrial grade generator. There are small generators that people buy, you know, the 5-6 kilowatt range. These are like, you might have them on a work site. And those things can run for years and years and years. But the ones that are sold for home backup, and the guy comes out, wires it up, plugs a propane tank in, etc., those are not meant, and I repeat, they are not meant to run full time to power your house for long periods of time. They're a backup. They're only meant to run a short amount of time, say every year or every other year. Some, you know, the power goes out or the power company's doing some repair, so your power goes out. Okay, that thing kicks in. It runs your house. It's probably not going to run your air conditioner. They have it wired so it only runs essential services at your house. Those are not industrial grade generators. So please understand that. So when I sell you a generator, if somebody wants a home generator, I will, you know, okay, that's fine. But the other thing is I have access to quite a few brands. Now, a week ago, I was building some of this up and getting this all in place. But I have the ability now to have industrial-grade generators. And that, of course, is part of my wing generator product line because it's an integral part. And previously, what I would have done is spec out a generator system and then tell the person, well, go find yourself a local dealer for generator. Well, now I can spec out the generator system that goes with the wing generator and also sell you the generator as a backup, as a co-component of the wing generator system, etc. And that's for the people that might be on-grid, might be off-grid backup. It might be, you know, any combination of on or off-grid. But when the power goes out, and for a lot of the cases, especially people who want the wing generator, they want to have long-term power if the electricity goes out. And so they would need a backup generator that is going to run for long periods of time. And this is in the 10 to 25 kilowatt and maybe larger, all the way up to a megawatt. So these can be very big generators. When you get up to the big ones, they're typically diesel. So you would have to have a diesel tank out there. And they typically have oil sensors where if the oil runs low, you can go out, it'll shut off. But you have to go out and make sure that oil tank is always full. That's one of the caveats of having a home generator, is that they're not just carefree, they're not totally maintenance-free. You have to do a certain amount of maintenance on those. Okay, so at any rate, that's one issue. And another one is I want to announce that right now, what we have the 2 months left till Christmas time, and typically my sales drop off before Christmas because I'm competing with people buying Barbie dolls and electric video games and, you know, all the stuff people buy for Christmas. So what I'm going to try and do, put this little seed in your brain right now, is that you should buy people, if you're going to buy somebody a Christmas present, buy them, for example, a water filter or maybe my home education package. And so what I'm doing is I'm combining things, and now I just want to reiterate that, remember that for since the COVID thing started, I could not get stainless steel containers for the gravity filters, and I still cannot, but I've got a replacement for that. And not only me, not anybody, anybody selling these filters across, you know, there are many different brands out there today. When I started in the year 2000, there were like one or two brands that were available, the Daltons and a few others that I won't mention. Eventually I got to have my own product line. But kind of basically, everybody got their stainless steel containers from the same source, oddly enough. It may have gone through secondary parties or something like that, but basically, the factory for that was in India, you know, and there was really no way around that, and there was no way to make them in the U.S. for less than $1 million a piece. So anyway, that went away during the COVID thing, and it is not coming back. I don't think you will ever see stainless steel. And I can't even imagine how many of these were sold. I can't even imagine to guess how many I sold over the past 20 years of stainless steel gravity water filters. They're really sold a lot of them. But those stainless steel containers went away after February, and they're not coming back. So I have a terracotta stoneware. It's the same size as the stainless steel, holds the same amount of water. And I'm getting feedback from these. I just introduced them like a week or two ago, something maybe 2 weeks ago. And people love these. People just take it out of the box. And especially women, of course, whether you like it or not, women are in the kitchen. And I'm probably not going to get a lot of men writing in how they love the terracotta water filter. It's for a guy, it's a water filter. It works. That's what they want, you know. But the women love how they look in the kitchen. Okay, so anyway, those are available. They're a little more pricey, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put them in packages of, if you want one, that's fine. But what I'm going to recommend, this is the point of this entire discussion, is if you buy two, I'll allow you, we'll ship it to two different locations. So it'll be one order. You can have it shipped to, if or three of them, or four of them, or whatever. We will ship to three or four locations for you. So then, and because these cost a bit to ship, because they're heavy, and they're a little bit bigger, they're not as compact when they ship as the old stainless steel ones. But we'll allow you to ask us to ship them to various locations, so you don't have to get them and then double ship them yourself to somebody. So that's to facilitate people who would like to buy these for Christmas presents. And what then I'm going to start doing is, as you buy two or three or four of these, then I'm going to start to throw in other things that you can give also as Christmas presents, like my education package. And also, for example, with the grow towers, this is something I can do. People that make a grow tower purchase, I will throw in a education package. If you buy, let's say, a single grow tower, I would throw in for 50% more. You can of the purchase price for the education package, you can get the education package. If you buy three towers, then I'll give you the education package for free. And that would be the same if you buy three water filters, the Gravity Terracotta water filters, then you get the education package for free, and you can send that to one of your family members or something like that, so they have my science education package. So anyway, I'm putting together a series of kind of, I guess I'll just call them Christmas specials. And so go to my webpage and take a look at these. Also, if you go to my webpage, you're going to see a new look. You're going to see a beautiful picture of Machu Picchu, and at the top, clickable line items, so you that my radio show, the Patreon channel, the wing generator has its own, the shipping container buildings, etc., has its own link right at the top of the page. It makes it much easier to navigate my webpage, and that's the first step in an improvement. That's going to improve. It's going to get even much better, and that's going to allow me to do more marketing. Okay, so enough of that. Just watch my webpage, go to my webpage, and you can see all the various things that are going on there. And also just remember the generators also. And so if you buy a generator, they're fairly easy to set up and hook up, but you would typically need an electrician also at your house, which you would have anyway. No matter who you buy it from, you're going to have a local electrician sign off on it as you plug it into your house, if you're using it for backup or whatever. Okay, a quick announcement. I broadcast on WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, and on Tower 2 is the main outlet. And I'm also, they carry it on Tower 1, which is 6.115 megahertz. That's going to stay the same all year long. But my summertime frequency, which was 9.350, if that's what you're listening to, will change next week. Next week, it's starting the wintertime hours frequency of 5.935. That's next week. So and all of this is in my webpage, too, how to listen. All of this is described. And so what typically happens is around the time of year when we have daylight savings time ends and just regular time begins for winter time, I'm right at like 6 o'clock on Thursday night central time. So what happens is there are certain shortwave frequencies that work better in the daytime and certain frequencies that work better at nighttime. So the 9.350 frequency, a higher frequency, works better during the daytime, but because I'm right at 6 o'clock there, I shift towards nighttime, you know, after the sun goes down. And so that's why they switched me to 5.935 megahertz. So that'll start next week, just an announcement. And that's also described on my webpage. If you click on the link, how to listen. Just a quick update. The Mexican-Canada borders of the United States remain closed. They updated this just yesterday. They will remain closed until, I believe, November 21st because they're claiming a surge in cases of COVID-19. And, of course, that's a fallacy. The surge of cases is actually a good thing. And you go, what? There's more cases of COVID. How come that's a good thing? Because what that tells you is more people have been exposed to this thing, whatever it is, and are not getting sick. The death tolls are not going up. The death tolls are way down. And the death tolls that they were reporting back in February and March and April were fake because they were getting doctors to sign off that anybody who died, they were marking as COVID-19. So when they went back and they redid that, something like 94% of the deaths that were recorded as COVID were not deaths due to COVID. And so now that the testing is going up, what the news media is reporting, of course it's fake news, they are reporting that the number of cases is going up. In other words, more people are being tested. There's more positive cases, but that's because the test is fake. The PCR test is not a test for COVID. Okay, so anyway, they're counting case numbers. But what that really should tell you in a society that was scientifically intelligent which unfortunately the United States has fallen way behind, because the average person on the street was educated in the public school system or even the private school system, and they didn't teach you about mathematics. I'm an astute student of mathematics. I taught statistics at the university level. And basically what it means, as the test counts surge, you should interpret that as a good thing, because what that means is fewer and fewer people are dying. And so the percentage of deaths is very low. That means that most of the people that contract or are exposed to COVID, according to the tests, are not getting sick. They are asymptomatic. They don't have any results. So anyway, that should be a good thing. But they're keeping this bogus argument that they are keeping the borders closed because of that. And so be it. I'm not going to Canada anytime soon. I'm not going to Mexico anytime soon. I used to live in Mexico. I lived in Mexico for a couple of years when I was young. I lived in Mexico City, and it was quite the experience. That's all I can tell you. I was teaching there. But it was kind of like living in the Old West, let's just put it that way. And at that point, Mexico City was the second largest city in the world, only second to Tokyo, with 10 million people. By 10 years later, Mexico City had doubled in population and became the world's largest city with 20 million people. And I thought that that was because all of the people were coming into the city from the countryside, and what it really was due to was simply population growth due to the birth rate. Okay, now for months, I have been announcing that NASA and NOAA would be making some kind of a false flag announcement, and we're bearing down on the time frame where I was predicting, so we'll see if my prediction was true. Maybe my prediction would thwart their activity, because sometimes when you expose people, then they don't do what they were going to do. But all of the indications are that NASA and NOAA are going to pull a false flag of event, either an asteroid crash, fake asteroid crash into the Earth, or the one I predicted the most likely would be a fake solar flare, and then claiming that it affected Earth and would shut down the power grid, which would affect voting and keep people from going to vote. But this somebody sent in, a listener sent in, this is from Foreign Affairs Magazine. And the guy on the cover is standing there looking off into the distance with his binoculars and coming down from the sky, about to hit him in the back of the head, is this big asteroid flaming in, and it's about future disasters. Now, you can see where this is going. This is on the head, on the cover of a Foreign Affairs Magazine, a major international magazine that claims to have its finger on the pulse of international activities, and including, of course, the United States. But what they do is, in the article, they talk about COVID-19, climate change, and of course, they never, interestingly enough, mention the picture which has an asteroid coming in and hitting the guy in the back of the head. This is a big asteroid. This is, you know, coming in out of the sky. And interestingly enough, the guy is looking off in the distance. The implication is that we're all busy looking over here, and the big guy, the big kahuna, the big earth-shattering problem is coming in at our backs, and we're not looking at it. And so what they're trying to do is anticipate the major earth catastrophes that could be on its way. Now, I've told you before, they can fake an asteroid coming into the earth. They can fake them. Going along with this story is another listener sent this in. So if you have thoughts, you know, send them in, because, and also please send in links to articles. That helps me get a pulse on what you've seen and what you would like me to talk about. So here's another sent in by a listener this was in financialexpress.com, another online dealing with finances, etc. They were talking, this was an August 10th article, so this is a while ago. This is like 2 months ago now, or more, over 2 months ago. But they were talking about NASA and NOAA combining to And there was a sunspot back then, and they said this is the kind that could send out a flare that could burn up Earth's grid system, etc. And they predicted the end of the world and everything like that. And this was NASA and NOAA combined. So they're combining forces. And at the end of the article, it said that a solar flare is trillions of times stronger than an atomic bomb. And of course, everybody in the world could make that association. You know, that. But the problem is that if a solar flare comes towards Earth, not all of that energy is directed at Earth. Just a small smidgen of it, but they don't say that, of course. But anyway, the point is that nothing happened. Their big solar flare scare story faded away, but to see what they're doing, it's like the Chicken Little thing. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, it hit me on the head. And, you know, Chicken Little running around with the sky is falling story. I don't know if you're familiar with that little kid's tale, but something fell and hit Chicken Little on the head and the rooster, and they went around telling everybody in the barnyard that the sky is falling, and the proof was that something hit him on the head. Well, that's exactly what happened here. But they're planting that seed, and they do this every week on spaceweather.com, on space.com. They try to reinforce this in the public eye, and this article came out in Financial Express, a Financial Observer magazine. So anyway, that continues. The question here is, will NASA and NOAA combine to pull off something prior to the election? And that could very much affect the election if they can pull power grids, say in major areas where there is, say, Trump, a question of him winning a race, like Florida. For example, and that's interestingly enough the location of that movie Greenland, where the asteroids come raining in, and you know there's all kinds of disasters in Florida. So that, you know, there again, very strange that they would release that movie just prior to the election, and dealing with asteroids coming into Florida, because it is said that Florida is one of the key states in the election. So asteroids coming into Florida or a solar flare and somehow affecting the power grid in Florida would be an issue that could swing the presidential election. Interesting. Here's an interesting story, and I've been following this for a while, but if you're not aware of 3D printing, it's a process where you have a printer, a digital printer, three-dimensional printer, so the printer head can go up and down and three-dimensional motion. And so it can print, but it's instead of printing like ink on a paper, what it's printing with is a construction material. And of course, these can be of all different varieties. But you can print a very exact shape. I saw a guy who was building a model rocket, and he built his own battery holder. He was actually using supercapacitors. And so he made a little holder to hold these things, but he printed it on his 3D printer. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, now they're at the point where they can print entire houses. There are some companies on the market. If you want to buy a 3D printed house, you can get it. So that gives you an infinite variety of different variations from building with sticks or blocks or cement block or whatever. Gives you a lot of more variations. But now they're able to build. This is the projection, they will be able to build structures in outer space with a 3D printing process. And so some of these companies are moving into that arena and looking at, you know, potentially a very profitable business, or building, say, space stations. So instead of sending up a big space station that's constructed on Earth, you would send up this printing deal and actually print the unit up there. But I think for a long time, things will still be manufactured on Earth. But when they get to actually creating buildings or, say, a facility in outer space, 3D, people are very serious about looking at 3D printing. And this came out in the Austin Business Journal. It's a recent article, October 1st. Let's see. Looking through my topics here, a listener wrote in and asked me to comment on Fukushima, that in the year 2022, which is just next year, it's a year from now, there, after the big accident, the Fukushima accident, they recovered the water, and they have stored all of this water there, which is radioactive. It's the water that was in the reactor. And one of the elements that they have no way of getting rid of is tritium, and one of the high mass nuclei that is radioactive. And so anyway, they're talking about just taking this waste water, this nuclear radioactive wastewater, and dumping it in the ocean, which is just a level of insanity. And of course, the environmental groups are going bananas. They're saying you can't do this, but the Japanese government and the political aspect of nuclear power is, you know, they just want to get rid of this stuff, so they're talking about dumping it in the Pacific Ocean. But this brings up the issue of people now are talking about nuclear power being green energy because it doesn't emit carbon dioxide. What a fallacious, just absolutely ridiculous thought that somehow nuclear power is green because it doesn't emit. If you look at Fukushima, and anybody who thinks that's green energy, you are insane. You are out of your mind. You don't know what you're talking about. And you should be sent to rehabilitation camp. I mean, that's the level of... But the people that want to put in the Green New Deal and push in nuclear power, they're the ones that need the rehabilitation, reconciliation, truth and reconciliation camp. Those are the people that need that. To imagine somehow that nuclear power is clean energy is absurd. But as I've said before, this is the round circle that General Electric wanted to push in the first place. That's why they pushed 3-blade wind turbines, because they knew that they would not work. They would push them with government subsidies, because that's the only way that business could be profitable, because it doesn't produce electricity. So the only way you can make a profit is if the government pays you money. And they destroyed that industry, which is another criminal aspect of what they did. If you invade an industry and destroy it for the sake of destroying the competition and destroying that industry, that's a criminal process, which General Electric is guilty of. But anyway, that's a secondary issue, a very important one. But the idea was that after everybody found out, and after all the money was spent and all the, you know, the government subsidies and all of the installations were made, and finally people would wake up and say, hey, this stuff doesn't work. Then they come back in through the backside and say, doggone, we got to get back to that really good Central Electric Power Company that's really reliable, and that's General Electric's main business. So they created a side business, 3-blade wind turbines. I wrote about this in my book in 2009, McCanny Wing Generator, World Energy Project. And I have a chapter in there. It's called The Myth of Alternative Energy. And I went on coast to coast. This is back in the mid-2000s. And I reported this, and I said, this is what they're doing. I had a show, and the name of that show topic was The Myth of Alternative Energy. You can go back and find that show if you go back far enough in my archives on coast to coast. And George Norrie was the host at that time, so it didn't get back to the Art Bell days. But, yeah, that was the plan all along, because I realized very early on that the 3-blade wind turbines simply did not work. And now you have magazines, online magazines, like WETT. It's called What's Up With That. It's a play on words. It's WATTS, What's Up With That. And they are a front for this message. They, you know, they give a lot of good information for why solar and 3-blade wind turbines don't work and can't work and cannot solve our problems regarding electricity and energy. But then the punchline is they go, well, We got to get back to that great old General Electric power. Oh my goodness. You know, so anyway, the bait and switch is alive and well. It's alive and well. So these companies plan these strategies decades in advance. Just a quick update on the wing generator. I'm working with groups, and what I'm able to do now is group individual orders. It's a way, just something internal with the company, so to allow the individual orders to move forward. Anyway, it's when you're running a business, you have business considerations. So anyway, I'll be doing a lot more work as far as individuals are concerned in getting wing generators placed. On to the main science topic. I want to talk about education and the dilemma that kids are in today, and parents, because the schools have basically shut down. A lot of them reopened. They were going to stay open. Some of them are fighting through all of this and staying open, but they're in the minority. The vast majority of schools have closed. And that's why I created my home education package. That's why I did that originally. I didn't plan on COVID being here, but it turned out the timing was perfect. The biggest thing that people need in home education, or even if your kids are in school, is assistance in science, because science is an absolute disaster. But most of the parents are trying to deal with this issue of their kids being at home. It's really a tragedy because these students are listening. There's so much that goes on with school. There's activities. There's just being with other students, that interaction that they need. And this is the new normal that they want to push. And so what parents have to do is overcome this and basically start new school systems. They have paid for these schools absolutely, you know, millions of dollars in their locale to have a nice school system, etc. And it's being shut down. And the teachers are not teaching. The teachers' unions, by the way, this whole issue of Nancy Pelosi holding out on the latest care package for the COVID-19 recovery, etc. The reason they're holding out is because they wanted to put $1.6 trillion in this. So first of all, it was like $1.2 trillion. Then there was $1.3, and they worked it up to $1.6 trillion. But she's holding out. She wants $2.4 trillion. She wants another $800 billion in this package. And that's supposed to go to the teachers. And so you go, what the heck? What are they going to do? They're not teaching. They're not in the classroom. But this is a way of buying votes. They're holding out in the course, all course, they want to get, it's a way of buying votes. Let's just put it that way, because the teachers' unions are very powerful. They control the information that goes to students and therefore to parents. And that's pretty much a big chunk of the country. So anyway, that's a way of baiting a good portion of the population to vote for Democrats. It's pretty disgusting. And then all of that money going to teachers' unions, what are they going to do with all of that money? So anyway, the issue, they're using education as a bait and switch. But what this does is this leaves students and parents in the lurch. They're being held hostage in a sense. But their futures and one of the most important things in the country, I would say the most important thing in our country are the youth, because they're the people that we have to put together. We have to give them a package so that when they grow up, they are well-educated, they're well-prepared, and the world is going to, it's an ever-changing place. These people have to be ready for the challenges, because the people that run the world want to use them as cannon fodder. They always have, whether it's a world war, whether it's a small policing action someplace, if it's trying to take away their incomes and their futures. That's all going on now. And these students have to be smart enough to realize that the talking points of politicians are a bait. It's a bait and switch. It sounds real good. A lot of these things sound real good, like equality for all, but that's not the end game. The end game is control by a few. You know, just watch the Hunger Games movie. That's what it's all about. So the upcoming election is very, very important. And I want to understand that I'm not 100% Trump supporter, but he's the only guy that can really steer this country into the future. It's pretty scary what's going to happen if he is not elected. In the future, people have finally woken up, especially the Black and Hispanic communities. I know a lot of people in the Hispanic communities. I talk to them. I speak the language. And most of them, the vast majority, are Trump supporters because a lot of them came from a place where it's not really nice. And they don't want that to come to where they are now. They somehow got into the United States. They're here, and they want it to stay that way. They don't want all of the problems that they left to come here. And so I don't think the Democrats understand that message. But if a lot of those people don't vote, and if they can get their names, they can put in a vote in their stead and try and swing the election. So anyway, there's a lot of cheating going on. And I also want to make it clear, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm in favor of progress in the American way. So anyway, I want to get back to the issue of education. It is impossible. I'll make this very clear. I've studied on both sides of the desk. I've been a teacher at university level for 10 years of my career. I did a lot of teaching also when I was in industry as an engineer in the telecommunications industry, and also spent a good deal of time on the student side of the desk. My college degree, my bachelor's degree, is a double major in physics and mathematics. My advanced degree in physics is in physics. And, of course, there was a lot of mathematics that went along with that. But I will tell you something very clearly. This goes along for chemistry or any of the other sciences, and really for pretty much any other topic. You cannot get a quality education in the sciences, and I'll just concentrate on sciences. Some people might disagree in other topics, but I'll be very clear. And when it comes to sciences, you cannot get a good education with a remote learning course scenario. Very simply, you need that professor in the room. When you're dealing with complex topics, which science, physics, mathematics, chemistry are complex topics. I saw a young person, he was on the news the other day, and apparently had a Trump sign behind him or something, and they said, you will be canceled from your course if you don't take that sign down. I thought that was rather bizarre, but at any rate, that's not my point. The student sitting there trying to log in and do chemistry online is bizarre, because chemistry, a lot of it's in the laboratory. Physics, chemistry, biology, those basic courses, especially at the college level, very sound science, the vast majority of this, as I've said before, where you get into the nebulous, really the science that is political, let's put it that way, is when you get into more graduate studies. But at the college level, what they're teaching there is very solid: physics, chemistry, biology, etc., very well-founded. But it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You can't without being there and seeing it and measuring it, somehow trying to do this on a computer and looking through the eyes of a computer is just not going to work. So we have a generation of students are going to be, you know, just are not going to be well educated. I'll tell you something about our counterparts. In China, there's no lockdown. There has not been a lockdown since February. The Chinese had 3 weeks, and it was during the Chinese New Year where all of the factories shut down anyway. All of the factories shut down, and they go on a three-week vacation. And typically the Chinese travel, that's when they go visit their family, etc. So it's like New Year's, but for 3 weeks. It's the Chinese New Year. And all the factories, everything shuts down, except basic human services like food, etc. But the point is that the Chinese have not shut down their education system like we've done in the United States. And the shutdown in the United States is based on testing numbers. I've already talked about shutting down borders due to testing numbers and spikes in testing numbers. That is not an indication that there's rampant problems with something called COVID. It's really, you know, the best thing you could do from a medical sense is get everybody exposed. It's in developing an immunity. But I'll tell you something else, and I said this from the very beginning. The outbreak at COVID-19 was supposed to be much worse. When the Oxford University and other the National Institute of Health and other people came out and said that there would be millions and hundreds of millions of people dead, that's what their belief was, based on research that came out of the National Institute of Health from a long time ago. They really believed that there would be massive amounts of deaths, and it did not happen. A lot of the deaths that occurred were not due to COVID at all. But now that people want to get back to school, get their lives back together, I predicted this. In fact, the other day I went back, and in March and February, I wrote three different papers. It was the 16 top things you have to know about the COVID issue. And I can't believe how spot on I was with all of my predictions, all of the information in there. And one of them was that when the initial lockdowns started to open up, they would regenerate with more and more cases due to testing. And I was absolutely right, 100% on with that. And so the use, and it's basically based on fear. So the universities are afraid that if they stay open, or the high schools or the grade schools, etc., they're afraid that if they stay open and somebody gets sick, they will be sued. And therefore, that's what they're afraid of. And the idea that there was testing, or that 140 kids went to a party and some of them tested positive, then they isolate all these kids, it's not based on sound science at all. So the end result, however, is that the students are the ones who are losing here. And the parents are at a loss. I mean, the parents, once that school makes a decision to shut down, they're going to shut down. That's the end of the story. They're going to, there's no way to get the school to open up again. Travel, a lot of businesses are still having problems managing. But regarding students, I guess the only thing I can tell you, if you're in the sciences or engineering or mathematics, is try and do your best. I'll tell you, I can just imagine myself in advanced mathematics courses or physics courses, and all along the way I had laboratory work to do. There's no substitute for that, having hands-on work and being in that laboratory and seeing things work, seeing how, I mean, you can't imagine this. You can't imagine doing all of this stuff and looking through a computer. It's just, it's not the same at all. So the end result is that our country as a whole is going to have a whole generation of students, and those students would be the ones who then go on to get higher education and themselves become teachers. So we're losing this chain of education. This is a national disaster. This is a way that, you know, to basically destroy the most technologically advanced country. If you look at all of the other countries, except for Russia, Russia had, after World War II, some technological development. But really, when it comes to the major developments, they happened in the United States, because the United States had the resources and the engineers and the staff that carried this along through the decades. When I was in college, the computers we were using used punch cards. We would program with punch cards and put them in a card reader. That was the state of computers when I started using computers. We had transistors that were in a can with three little wire leads coming out of it. I mean, it was the original transistors that we were building circuits with. And of course, then it became integrated and high density integration to the point now where it's microscopic. But I've witnessed these developments through my whole career from the time I was young. And now people are not seeing that. They're not able to. I think what has to happen here, and this is just an opinion, and it probably should have happened a long time ago, is that industry should start seeking out students and bring them in, and then also have education courses, but start training those students in almost like a trade school within an industry. And so if students know somebody or, you know, try and find, and I would also encourage people who own businesses that... you know, say high-tech businesses, go out and seek students and tell them, look, you can work for our company and get your feet wet. You can have experience working with experienced engineers and scientists and along with your education. And that would be a formula for success. But there's really no substitute for that university education. And of course, along with that university education comes a lot of misinformation that has crept in into the social structure of the universities. That's something that students are much better off without. So I think the fix here is for the industries to go out and seek out good students, chemistry, physics, mathematics, and biology, etc., and bring them in and give them employment and as they go through their coursework, so they get some hands-on, so they get to rub shoulders with real scientists because they're not getting it at the university. And I'm not sure what's going to happen to the universities. They're not going to be able to, the people are not going to buy into this remote learning thing and keep paying the same price. That's just not the same education. And if I were the parents, I'd be saying, look, I'm not going to pay you so that my kid can learn. Here's the problem. When you have that professor in the classroom, he's got to be there year after year after year. And he's directly interacting with the students because every student has a different problem. They're going to have trouble with their coursework at different points in the coursework. And throughout my education, when I had problems, I don't know whether it was in whatever subject I was studying, you hit things and you're just having problems with it. You go to the professor or you go to an upperclassman a lot of times and they go, oh, well, here's how you do that. And it bridges that, it creates that chain of knowledge which is being broken. So these students don't have that ability to go to face-to-face with a teacher, with an upperclassman. And when I was in the physics building, whether it was at Tulane or my college, St. Mary's, whether it was, I would go to upperclassmen. I'd say, hey, I'm having a problem with this. And they would sit down here, do this. And there was a lot of camaraderie. And, I'll tell you something, too. the middle of winter time in the physics building, a lot of physics students sitting there doing physics problems. There was a lot of good humor, physics jokes and things like that. And these were at very high level, you know, physics students, all of them graduate, bound for graduate school and PhDs and careers in physics. But it was interesting, just the jokes that people would make, very creative people. And that's just a little part of being around these people on a campus. And all of these students are missing this, you know, this ability to go to somebody and get information and help you and crack jokes and, you know, just part of being human is being robbed from these students. Anyway, I just want to remind you, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, and there will be the Christmas sales. If you buy more than one thing, say the terracotta water filters, and we will ship those to different locations. You buy two or three, the price goes down as you buy more. And then we will ship those to different locations for you,
for your various people you're buying Christmas presents for, because we don't want to ship it to you, and then you have to turn around and ship it to somebody else. It's double shipping. And the terracotta are heavy, they're bigger. They run around at least $40 just to ship them. But we will ship them to multiple addresses as a courtesy. And then also, you will be able to get premiums if you buy two or three. If you buy, like, for example, two of the terracotta systems, you'll get the basic education program free to send to a person of your choice, in your family, of course. But the if you buy three of them, you get the everything education package for free. So there's a lot of benefits. All of that information on my webpage. Also, if you buy the grow towers, as you buy the multiple grow tower systems, you will be able to get a free education package thrown in there also. And so all of that information on the sales page, go there. And I'm spending a lot of time myself recently archiving my material. I have a tremendous amount of material that's been built up over the years to organize this, so people who really want to spend time on my webpage, listening to my radio shows, examining what I did at, say, American Geophysical Union meetings 10, 20, 30 years ago, all of that information will be there. So once again, this is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. Remember the webpage, jmccsci.com. And we are at the crossroads. Good night.